Well, hey there, all you triathlon studs and studettes. This is Zen and the Art of Triathlon. And part of the Art of Triathlon is keeping well fed. So, y'all caught me in the middle of making a frozen pizza, but it's a good pizza. Greek sesame pizza with artichoke hearts, sun-ripened dried tomatoes, feta cheese, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, it's July 5th, and the Tour de France is majorly underway. And I just got home from work and watched the video footage of Zabriskie, wiping out. And now Lance Armstrong is in the lead. If you don't watch the Tour de France, you are really, really missing out. It is great. Lots of cycling tips too. Lots of things to learn about cycling that you can apply to triathlon. It's good stuff. And something that was painfully obvious was Lance's tip to Zabriskie of how to keep in the lead of the tour was, in essence, it was pretty much don't wreck. Whatever you do, don't wreck. Because he told him, whatever you do, don't get more than 20 people back in the pack. Well, that means basically don't wreck. If you get far back in the pack, somebody's going to wreck, and then they're going to take you down with them. Well, what Zabriskie did today was he wrecked. And you could kind of foreshadow that something was going to happen, because people would ask me, and anybody else that knows anything about the tour would ask, well, Zabriskie is he's beating Lance. Is Lance worried? And pretty much you say, well, not exactly, not really. And they would say, well, why not? And you would say, well, Zabriskie's new to the tour. There's lots to know about how to race in this tour and keep the lead. And Armstrong has been in it for so long, and other people have been in it so long. The real threats to Armstrong and the real threats to win don't even really start to pop up until the end of the race. So, and the race is weeks long. So, it was kind of like, well, what's going to happen? What is going to bring Zabriskie down? And, well, we saw it today. Just out of nowhere in a team time trial, he wrecked. Front tire went out from under him somehow. They're going to figure out how through video footage and interviews and stuff like that. And now Zabriskie went from being 2 seconds ahead of Lance overall to being a minute and 26 behind, which, couple that with after being in a wreck, a bad wreck, he's so beat and bruised that there's just no way he's going to come back. So you can follow all this on cyclingnews.com. It's a really good website. They give up to the minute, every few minutes, a new update, text-based. If you go to their Tour de France coverage, there's a text-based thing. So you can sit there at your computer and watch it as it, read it as it unfolds, which is kind of cool, because it's like, instead of it playing out for you visually, you get to imagine it in your head. Sometimes it's even better in your head than it is in real life. Oh man, this pizza looks good. Pizza! We went to Tyler this last weekend and did a lot of hill training, lots of running and biking, no swimming, and my wife enjoyed beating me once on the run, because I had eaten too much food, and I guess she ate a little bit less than I did, and I ended up barely able to run. I tried to sneak up on her on the end, and she outran me. It was just a 3-mile run, but it was good fun. And then very, very hilly. And then we went on a bike ride, and I'm faster than she is on the bike by a good margin, but I doubled back to try to cheer her on. Well, she was already starting to climb a hill when I was passing her down the hill, trying to turn around and go back up. So I turned around the bottom of the hill and started trying to catch up with her, and I couldn't. So technically, she beat me on the hill climb at the very end, and I gotta say, man, I am so proud of her. She has really come into her own with cycling, and I think we're just beginning to see the this is just the opening stages of what she can be as a cyclist. She's extremely athletic, very dedicated, and just hasn't had the time to commit to cycling. So, and that's actually her weakest thing on the bike during a triathlon is the bike ride. So I'm really happy to be helping her out. We went from a time when she was so slow that I actually didn't really want to ride with her because it was hurting my working out. But then over a winter, I read somewhere, actually on slowtwitch.com, to put in lots of miles real slowly. And so I rode with her a lot over one winter, and I figured it was investment. You know, it was like money in the bank. If I work with her on getting faster and just ride with her, that actually will make her much faster and then more likely to be able to keep up with me when I go on faster rides than if I just don't work out with her at all, and then she ends up getting frustrated and not working out, and then she'll never be able to keep up. So it's actually worked out really well. I'm really happy. A good piece of news is I've been working on the feed some, and the feed is a piece of, it's a document, it's a text file that aggregators, that your software reads to tell your computer which shows are new and which ones to download. There's been some issues where it's not exactly working on Doppler, and I've got it working on Doppler, and then the along with that, I've gotten it to work once on iTunes, which is the big monster. It's the 800-pound gorilla that we really want to get on, and it's looking like I just got to do some editing and get it cleaned up, and it'll be on iTunes. So it's already on iTunes now. It's just a bunch of old shows, and there's something wrong with the newer set, the newer 10, 15 shows where they're just not showing up. But patience is the greatest virtue, so we're just going to work on it slowly but surely, and it'll all work out, man. It'll all work out. So back to the workouts. We did a run Saturday. We got to Tyler on Saturday. So we did a run Saturday evening, a bike ride Sunday morning, and then I went out again and ran Sunday evening, and then I went out again and biked Monday morning, and then we had to leave to go come back here to College Station. And I'd have to say it was damn hot, man. It was really, really hot. Hot and hilly, so that's exactly what we paid for. That was the ride that we wanted, and that's what we got. We're under drought conditions here in Texas. Hasn't rained in like 3 months or something, and that's people don't know that Texas isn't what you think it is. The whole eastern half of Texas actually does get I don't know, I forgot the amount of rain, you know, like 25 to 30 inches of rain a year. It's supposed to, but we're right on the borderline. When you get about Austin West, then you start getting into, you know, seriously dry conditions, and I forgot how much rain they get, but that's the Texas that most people think of. The eastern half of Texas is actually pretty water dependent, and there's a lot of people living in the eastern half of Texas. So lots of cattle farms, lots of crops and stuff like that, and a period without rain can be very damaging. I remember in San Diego, it goes 9 months without raining. Well, in Texas, if it goes a month without raining, you got problems. You got a lot of problems. So now we've gone 3 months without raining, and it's getting pretty serious. So actually some rain now, right now, would be pretty nice. And so things are drying up. It's getting drier and drier and hotter here. And even though we've got an AC pretty much crammed, an AC unit crammed into every orifice of every building, it gets on you, it wears on you. So today is a today's Tuesday, and we're taking a day off from working out. I'm going to take it easy. If you go to enduranceradio.com, you'll find an interview with Pam Reed, who is a multiple winner of the Badwater race, speaking of hot and terrible. And Badwater is the ultra run. It's probably 100 miles, 100 plus, in Death Valley. And we're talking about temperatures into 135 degrees. That sucks. And she wins these races, and she's got a very interesting training technique. Instead of going, and she lives in Tucson, so she's already used to the heat, and she likes the heat. But instead of doing 3, 4, 5 hour runs at a stretch, you know, which a lot of us do for Ironman training or even half Ironman, we go on these crazy long runs, right? Well, instead of doing those, what she does is she runs only 1 hour at a time, but several times a day. Sometimes 5 times a day, I think she said. Well, that's really interesting, because her strategy is she doesn't ever want to be left out in the open desert, wherever she trains. Anyway, she doesn't want to be too far away from home and then bonk, okay? Because if you bonk badly enough, and then you have to spend hours getting back, any significant amount of time getting back to your house or wherever you're training from to recover, then you're really digging yourself into a grave with recovery the next day. You're not going to be able to go out and train the next day as well as if you just train in hour increments. So I think I might try it, man. I think instead of, when it's a heavy run day for me, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to run hours at a time, you know, 1 hour at a time, but several times in the day. And I'm going to see how that goes, man. I think I'm going to do that for my Ironman, if I do an Ironman, but definitely my half Ironman training. I think I'm going to give that a try. That's a pretty interesting technique. I can definitely appreciate it. I think that what she said about that she's never had a serious injury, that's something to pay attention to, because it doesn't matter how great a runner you are. Once you get injured, you know, you're as slow as the slowest runner. You're as slow as somebody walking. And any time that you can avoid having an injury, yeah, that's great. And injuries tend to recur. So, you know, it's a whole thing of triathlon as a lifestyle. That's definitely something to pay attention to. Any way that you can prolong your life as a triathlete and not get hurt and grow old as a grandparent and watch your grandkids actually starting out in triathlon would be something pretty cool. I know a guy who's got grandkids that are starting to get to the age where they can run and bike and swim. And you know he's going to be excited about that. That's really cool. So, let's see. That's my show for today, I think. I'm going to keep it kind of short because I got to eat a pizza. Might go swimming tomorrow morning. No, actually, tomorrow morning is my wife's day to swim. I guess I should mention Marble Falls. Marble Falls is a very difficult race. It's not necessarily long. It's almost an Olympic distance. And I think that's like on the 17th or something like that of July. It's out in the hill country, northwest of Austin. It is very, very hilly, very hot. But hopefully we'll be done somewhat early. This is going to be my wife's first non-sprint distance race. I guess technically it is a sprint, but in my book, you know, it's a 1,000-meter swim, how far is the bike? Like 22, 23-mile bike, and then a very hilly bike ride, and then a 4.4-mile run. So, I mean, it's not Olympic, but it's not easy either, man. It's going to be tough, and this is going to be her first race like that. Definitely her first very hilly race, and we're going to see how that goes. I'm definitely going to be nervous for her, and we'll do the whole thing where we cover the race ahead of time and check out the course and then do post-race analysis. And I'm very excited about that, man. So, hope you stay tuned. Stick with the show. We are trying to get the the feed thing worked out, but all things in due time, man. You don't become a triathlete overnight. Signing up for a race doesn't make you a triathlete. Neither does just putting out a podcast make you a real podcaster. It takes time and perseverance. So stay tuned, man. Talk to y'all later. Keep on trying.